You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Joshua and chapter 3. Joshua and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, your word. So take those words and give us an understanding heart, that we would have the immediate benefits of truth, of the reality of your awesome person. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much in Christ's name. Amen. If you recall, Israel leaves the land in the time of Jacob, and they go to Egypt. And they leave in a time of famine, and they go into Egypt. And God takes care of them for 400 something years. And God takes care of them. In Egypt, the world, all kinds of idols and pyramids and sphinxes and everything. And they're all there, but no God. Finally, it is time, and God rescues them and from that and brings them across the Red Sea into the land of the Sinai, to Mount Sinai. And in the process, God did that. And they spend, ultimately, as you know, because of their unbelief, 40 years in the wilderness. In Egypt, Egypt is Egypt. The world is the world. Day in, day out, it's the same whole thing. In the wilderness, day in and day out, it's the same old thing. Same old thing. Get out of bed, do what they do. God was there. God was taking care of them 1,000%. No question. But that's all they had. So, when they come to the Jordan River, God makes it clear to them they are no longer in Egypt. They are no longer in the wilderness. So Joshua chapter 3, you would recall as we did that, if I can, sliding over to verse 9. Well, verse 4, to help us immediately. Chapter 3, verse 4. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, that's the ark in the river, about 2,000 cubits, that's 3,000 feet, a little over half a mile, by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know. What are they supposed to stand back and know? That the way by which you must go, there's no other way. Know that you got to cross that river. And there's no other way, that you may know the way which you must go. For reason. You have not passed this way heretofore. You have never had what you're going to have. You never had it in Egypt. You never had it in the wilderness. You're going to have a relationship to God in a way that you never had. An awesome relationship to God. And you're going to have such a relationship that the whole world will pay attention. Therefore, as you know, in chapter 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. That's the point. They're going to discover something about God who always was there. To know, verse 10. 3 and verse 10. Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Everyone's going to be defeated. All 33 kings are going to be defeated, and their armies. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, one of every tribe representing all of Israel, all 12 tribes. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, when that ark is out there in the middle, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap, a great pile. When you slide down to verse 16, you discover what? The waters are dried. So here comes the Jordan down from the Sea of Galilee, way up there, coming down, and it goes all the way down from the Sea of Galilee, north of that, all the way down to the Dead Sea. That's where it goes. So, God, what are you going to do? Here they are on this side of the Jordan, and they're going to cross. God stops the water 25 miles, here's the Dead Sea, and slide up 25 miles, and that's where the pile of water is, 25 miles away. And they got 25 miles approximately of dry land to cross that Jordan. They don't need that much, but God opens it up. And it's very important you understand you've never been this way. You have to do the things the normal way, the world does. But now it's different. God, your relationship to God is going to be extraordinary and wonderful, very practical, profitable, pleasing. Now, having said that, sliding over if I can, to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you'd recall in verse 1, it came to pass when all the people were clean or passed over Jordan, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, so that all people are represented. And verse 3, and commanded, 4:3, and commanded ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Now they're going to do that in a most wonderful way. Over to verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Why are these 12 stones sitting over there next to Gilgal area? Why are they sitting there, these 12 stones piled neatly in a wonderful little pile? 12 stones. And not only that, sliding over, if I can, to verse 9. And Joshua set 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. So they put 12 out of the Jordan and 12 in the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now you can't see the stones in the water. They're all covered by the river. Now, God, what are you trying to say? Well, the stones you can see in Gilgal tell you about the stones that are in the river. And it's a message. What are you trying to say? And all, like we shared when we did all these things, all of the world knew Israel had crossed the Red Sea in some phenomenal way, as it were, that world that was then known. They're all going to know when they cross the Jordan. Verse 20. Those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Israel Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Why are these stones here? We weren't part of any of this. Then ye shall let your children know, what are they going to communicate? Saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Cross the Red Sea on dry land. Cross the Jordan on dry land. God, only you can do this. Uh-huh. Verse 22. Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over Jordan on this dry land. Verse 23. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Now, what are you trying to say, God? Verse 24. That all the people of the earth may know, not just Israel crossing that Jordan, no. I want you to know what I'm doing when I do it. That all the people might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. God is God. There's no Egyptian God. There's no any other kind of God. There's no philosophical God. There's no human God. There's nobody. Just God. That's what he wants to know. I'm the only God and only Savior. 1,000 times you say it, God. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, Israel, the stones. Now, the stones have a wonderful message. It needs to be conveyed, because the next generation was never there. The stones are a reminder, and they keep reminding of the stones. Back over to Psalm 78 that you read, just for a point. And you can already guess it. Psalm 78. And picking up, if I may, directly in verse 3. Which we have heard and known of our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So that's the whole key. Keep communicating. Keep communicating the truth. A, you people that crossed the Jordan and went for 7 years without hardly a loss of a man. And you defeated 33 kings' armies from top to bottom, top of Israel to the bottom. You defeated every one of them just like that. And everyone knows that you did that. Now, so we were there. We were there. We were fighting. But this next group wasn't fighting. And the next group is further away and further away from the fight. So we communicate what we did, and the war. We accumulate we saw the war, we were in the war, and we hand the war on to the generation that watched us in the war. And then the next generation, what their fathers, grandfathers did, etc. So, but you know what? They didn't do that. They didn't do it. Hang on. It'll come right home to where we are. Psalm 78, in verse 7. They might know, that they might set their hope in God to know and understand, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that let not their heart let not their heart aright, set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They just didn't honor God. They didn't hand it on. The marvelous day and night, God kept them in the wilderness, fire by night and cloud by day. We read it. Awesome. The whole history of Israel needed to be understood and communicated, that they were one special nation under God. We'll pick that up now and tonight. Now, in the process, how does that go? How does history move? Over to Hosea, and the book of prophet Hosea, first of the minor prophets, as it were. Hosea chapter 4. And may I pick up a note? Thank you. And in the process, may go to verse 1. You'll pick it up quickly. Here's the 10 tribes in the north. The 10 tribes in the north have priests and Bethel and Dan and sacrifices and all of it foreign. It had nothing to do with God as it should have. It was a substitute, a replacement for God and the worship of God. So they didn't have to go to God in Jerusalem. Chapter 4, verse 1. Here's how was it going for these 10 tribes. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy. What is that? With the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God. There isn't any. There isn't any. I thought it was supposed to be understood. Your history. No, don't understand history. Hang on. You don't understand history. No, we don't. Disappeared. So therefore, God, here we are looking. What mean these stones in this land? The stones are lost. Stones are left. Stones are lost. Stones don't mean anything. So we come to our country, and we have Plymouth Rock over there, set in a little cubicle on the beach, Plymouth Rock. We have the rock, and you can go see the rock. And then we have the Constitution, Declaration. I have a copy here of both. Do you know all the documents that the government does are 7 zillion pages long? You know that, don't you? Thousands and thousands of pages. And they're given them on Tuesday night to vote on Wednesday morning. Thousands of pages. So we didn't have time to read it, so we'll just vote anyway. How many times did they do that? Now, little document, few pages. But boy, Declaration and the Constitution in this little book. So easy, isn't it? Hang on. Now, so we have this Declaration and Constitution, and we have it. And you would know in the process, a God is over us and under us, and they understood that. And reading again the Declaration, and for the support of this Declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And so the defenders, that's what they're going to do. What are they going to do? Signing of the day thing? Well, we're going to go to war. You're going to go to war over this, that's right. In order to maintain what we just signed, what we agree to, we've got to go to war. It's going to cost us, no question. It's going to cost. So therefore, keeping that in mind, so our custom, the custom over there in May 5th, 1866, in Waterloo, New York, is where they did the first thing, strewing flowers on those that have died in the war. And later, 1868, it became a national holiday. And so it's called Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is to remember what was done and why it was done, why the men paid the price. And remember, men that signed up. When you signed up, you understood that you may, when you're sent on an assignment, you may never come back for it. That's the understanding you when you sign up for war. When you sign up and you go, you may not come back. And that's understood by us as we salute, as it were. We understand we may not come back. The price, you sing it. Mercy, loving mercy in your hymn, more than life. Hang on. So, in the process of all of that, in the world system, doing what it does. So the darkness, and darkness hates light. We already know that in a thousand ways. Men love darkness rather than light because the days are evil. Light is abhorrent to them. They don't want to have anything to do with light. Light, what's light do? It eliminates darkness. So we don't want to have light. We don't want to have light. We don't want light, reality, truth. Truth, light makes us be real, makes us see things as they are and understand them as they need to be understood. And so light makes for liberty, light does. So that's what the Declaration does. Declaration's based on what? Judeo-Christian, the Bible. Where do you think they got this? People read, hearing the Bible, and understood the Bible, and that's what they did. That's how you got it. So therefore, in the process, the world system has no desire for light, no desire for God, no desire for liberty. When I think about liberty, and you do, liberty, light, truth, liberty. We sang it, liberty, a couple of times in the hymns. And in the process, to love liberty more than life. To give me liberty or give me death. I don't want to be alive without liberty. So what's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, our declaration. How many nations can you think of one that pursues liberty in its documents? Historically, how far do you want to go back? Find me liberty. Find it, if you can. That's what you got. It's odd, rare. If you don't understand that, you won't understand as we keep going to try to put this together. Liberty. What did they want? Romans, John 8, 32 and all that, 36. And the truth will set you free. Free, liberty. The Son shall set you free. Verse 36, it's free, liberty. That's what they wanted. Give me liberty or give me death. That's what they wanted. They understood it. They understood that's what God intended them to have. Liberty, wonderful liberty. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so therefore, in the process, the world system doesn't want liberty. So when they went to do this, Declaration, Constitution, they were hunting and looking to preserve and pursue liberty. That's what they're doing. So who's in favor of that? No one's in favor of that. Who's in favor of such things? No. It's what God wants. God wants us to have liberty. The world doesn't want us. The devil doesn't want us. The flesh doesn't want us. They don't want liberty. We want to be in the dark so that we can live with ourselves without having to be exposed to the righteousness of God, etc., etc. Now, So having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so and where do fightings and wars come from? From our lust, James chapter 4, verse 1, etc. So here's our republic, which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's our pledge. We salute the flag. We say it. That's what we're saying. With liberty and justice for all. Okay, hang on. So in the process, what have we got? Well, too often, you know this from the Second World War, I think, all those different things. And what have we heard? You've heard it. We probably even have done it more than we know. We've been through the depression, the shortages. You know, you had to have a coupon. You had to wait in line to get a spare tire. Remember that? Get a spare tire to be able to buy an extra pound of butter, to get a pound of butter, etc. You wait in, have a coupon to get your butter, etc. And all of this stuff. And what do we say? Well, we don't want our children to have to go through this. Do you ever hear that? We want our children not to have to have what a hard journey we've had. Oh, doesn't that sound good? It's normal. We don't want our children. Aha. Error. What's the problem? The system that we're living in right now is highly aggressive. I'm going to do it. I don't want to jump the gun. The children, so in the process, we haven't helped them, because the cost of liberty has to be pursued at the cost of liberty. You pay a price to keep it going, because the world, hang on, isn't changed. The flesh hasn't changed. The devil hasn't changed. And you're trying to keep liberty. You're trying to stay in the light. The world loves darkness rather than light. So no matter what you do, it doesn't want that light lit. So anything to put out the light, to get rid of God, hang on, and the light. So in the process, and what have we got now, jumping ahead? We've got a system, government system. It's like a great system providing everything. It's like having a federal drinking faucet, and there's no handle on it, and they're never going to call the plumber to fix it. And it just flows. It flows. The water never stops flowing because the government doesn't want to stand. No handle, no plumber to gate it. So we keep feeding. That's what you got going now. So they're looking for people to go to work and all these different things. But what have we got? Well, once you get the government has to be our father. Not God. There's a whole book written on it. Country without a father. The government becomes your father. The government takes care of us. What happened? What happened to liberty? Ah, good question. Because we haven't. The bad guys, if you can say that, the bad guys are very, very aggressive, as I'll try to illustrate. And the good guys, but we aren't aggressive. We haven't pursued the practice of liberty. We haven't understood the cost to make sure the next generation understood what they need to stand for and watch. How do you think our educational system got so corrupt? It started years ago and no one stood up, but they're aggressive. They have an agenda, communism, socialism. They aren't going to quit. Do you understand? You know that. That's the world. Our world is God and the future. This is only here, and this is all they got. And they have no problem with time. They can, because they're going to be here forever until they die, and they just push. So here's the movement, and the people that should, the good guys, if I can use that word, the people that should be handing on capitalism and life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and hard work, etc., responsibility, it disappears. It disappears. The bad guys don't want that. They don't want that at all. But the good guys aren't producing it. They aren't pushing it. We see things that are wrong with the sexual everything and marriage and all of these dumb things. They happened a long time ago. Years ago, I remember we shared it with you up here. We knew it was coming when the Roman Catholic system had the priest and all of that. And we told you pretty soon it's going to be legal. They aren't going to ever prosecute what they do. Do you understand? You say, oh no, I told you back then. It's going to work out. They're never going to prosecute. It's going to become okay. Everything becomes okay. You see? So that's where we are. But we could have stopped something. But we never stopped it. We never say, well, that's awful. But you didn't stop it. And the bad guys are pushing it. A handful of people in power. They've been educated for years, trained in this, and now they become the leaders, and they're geared to it. And you know all this stuff. They're set. They're set in what they do and how they do it. And you need to understand that, because they aren't after. They're just stuck in where they're going and what they're after. Now, God, here we are looking, and it's a tough go. To what we're doing. So it's our fault in part. That's why you can't blame Egypt, you can't blame Syria of Israel's failure. Israel is where it is today because it refused or was indifferent to continue practicing their relationship to God to enjoy it. And they lost it. And when you lose something like that, historically, you don't get it back. Think of Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And they are going to die. But you can't get back what you lost because you lost it. You can't have it back. You'd like it back, but you can't. You can't. Some would do it a different way. Somebody used to be 20 years old, is that all right? 20, 15. But you can't go back and be 20 years old, can you? Can you? You can't go back and be 20 years old. That'll be for tonight. Well, okay. Now, so in the process, here's human history. Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, during the First World War, went and had a man called Edward Mendel House, H-O-U-S-E. He was actually a colonel. And he was a close advisor to the president in foreign affairs. He was the one that was involved in the peace proposal in 1917, et cetera, et cetera. And in the process, he founded, the Covenant, called the Covenant of the League of Nations. That was a way to try to take the world and make it come out a little better. Hang on to that now. So in the process, House then wrote a book. The book's name was Philip Drew, D-R-U, and Philip Drew, Administrator. And it was a book on socialism. And it was a book on how to do socialism and put it to practice. And so many steps on how to, like communism, etc., to do it. And so the process of doing all of that, and it led to, he's in America now, at the time, to the downfall. It would have been the downfall of America, and the goals were socialist, etc., and it would have controlled both political parties and all nations, ultimately. That's the one global system, one globe, globalism, and did so. So here's the council, and he did that. And then, but that didn't go. So he formed the Council of Foreign Relations. And the Council of Foreign Relations came along in the 1940s and that kind of thing. And that, and almost everyone, presidents, et cetera, signed on to it, were part of it for the most part. And in the process, they did that. I remember him reading that and said, how can that be? How can you be a member of that? A Council of Foreign Relations. So in the process, they did that. And the Council of Foreign Relations is globalism, socialism. That's what it is. And you know what? David Rockefeller came along in 1973. You remember the Trilateral Commission? Trilateral? And I used to get stuff in the mail. I used to be in the mailing list, all the documents they'd send them. I still have some. Trilateral Commission. And in the process of that, so now, hang on to that. The Trilateral Conditions is the same as the Council of Foreign Relations. So it's the same thing. It's the same principles. These are the main documents, the underlying, like this is your Constitution. They're the documents that are underneath. The people that are studied, that minister power, politicians, they're under the documents. You and I don't pay attention to them. What do we care? But they do. That's their, what they're doing. They represent politics, government. That's what they do. So here's that with David Rockefeller in 1973. And in the process now, you remember Jimmy Carter came along, the 39th president. And Jimmy Carter was a founding member of that Trilateral Commission. And he was part of that. And you know, during that time, we went from being caring about anti-communist countries like Taiwan and Chile and South Korea. And we went and started favoring China and Russia. And so they did. That's a public thing. That's what they did. But nationally, we switched from one to the other. So in the process, we come to now the great world order, and we have the virus come along, and the virus comes along in the process, and it is sort of, everything's moving. It's been set, unstoppable, moving. The virus comes along and breaks everything up in our country, and we've shared all those things. And in the process of breaking it all up, they do so. Now, did we fix? We had the presidential thing and all of the years of impeachment and that. But you know, you understand things. Of all the different things that should have been put forth, we knew them, in some of them in detail, but we couldn't bring the documents forward to do it. All of those documents have never been revealed, have they? And all of those studies are kept locked up because the great cover-up must never be uncovered from the 2016 all the way forward. Never, we can't uncover it. So we come to the virus. And the virus, you want to know. Now, it seems to me, just my little half a thought, if I had something here and I made a mistake, which I make lots of them, and here's a mistake. I told you to read Hosea chapter 2, and I actually meant Hosea chapter 50, make believe, okay? And I just say, oops, I made a mistake. We could easily have said that if I was Chinese or something. I could say we made a mistake in the lab. There's no problem with that. We all understand that. But you can't say that. And all the people in this country and that country and anyone else, it's a cover-up. Everything's a cover-up for years. And the powers that be are in the place of power to keep it covered up. And they aren't going to uncover it. Understand that? They aren't going to uncover it. It exposes them. The 1619 thing they did in school about things. They aren't going to, it's just going to keep going and going and going. It isn't helping us to grow up. It isn't helping us to get the liberty and freedom and understanding that the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock for, to get us to be able to get to God and enjoy God and honor God. And God, you have to help us. So in all of this, with liberty and that, over if I can, in the light of the time is gone. And so here's all of these things happening. And in the process, Satan isn't quit, the devil isn't stopped, the world system isn't stopped, all godless, all love the dark. They don't want light. They don't want to see. They don't want to understand. Understanding is what sets us free. It's just to give us freedom so we understand. I don't want to step in the minefield if I don't have to, etc. Now, so over if I can, oh to Malachi. Malachi. We didn't get very far, but I hope we got a little bit, because that's what the stones, the 14,000 stones in the cemetery, the state cemetery for the military over here in the cemetery, 14,000, I guess. What are they for? They're crying out. Men and women paid. They didn't pay to get socialism or for you to have pizza. They paid because it was worth dying for, to protect and preserve this declaration. And that's what they did. And I don't know anyone that will say, I went and died so you could be a socialist or a communist. I don't know anyone like that. And I'm involved a little bit in the military. No, I don't. They didn't do that. But it's being what? Taken away. And it's like I said, even the other day in the military meeting, we're in a war that we have never been in all of our history. We have never been in a war like this. And then we've never had weaponry that isn't quite adequate to help us overcome it, because the power is so great. Malachi chapter 3. Now, God, help us a little bit, because as we're plowing along, I want to see the problem. We're in a war. The men and women have already paid price that we could be in this war to get this far in history. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. As you close the Old Testament, then they that feared the, remember now, unbelief, going to 400 years and then John the Baptist, etc. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And God, what did you do? And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God, you're going to forget. No, I remember everyone. I remember the widow who dropped her 2 cents worth in. I remember. You do. Oh, you do, God. You sure do. And I wrote a book. And I want you to know, and they, verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now that's Israel. That's believers. You and I right now are in a special period of history from Calvary's cross, the time God takes us up at his soon appearing. Here we are in this segment. This is called grace. Now, God, here we are, and I got the why do these stones, the stones, what's the message? Why are these stones there? Why are the stones in the cemetery? Why are they there? To remind us. Now, God, are we getting a book written? That's what I want to know. How are you going to remember us, God? We're nobodies. No, we aren't. We're just nothing. Apart from you, we're zero. Without you, we can do nothing. Over to Ephesians in closing. Over to Ephesians. And so what about, have we got a little book with our name? Now, there's a book of life, there's no question. I know all those, a little bit. There's book of life and all of those things. Our name's written in there. Your name's in there, which is very good. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, what do you know? The Ephesians, a great letter to all of the believers in all the ages, especially the church age. Ephesians chapter 1, picking up please, in verse 6. We are to be, I'm going to read verse 5, being predestinated, that means to be marked out ahead of time, marked out for what purpose? To be for the adoption, to be placed as children, placed as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored. The only other place that word is used is of the Virgin Mary. Highly favored is the word. Highly favored in Christ, the beloved. God, and verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's good. Well, we're demonstrating grace. Now, God, is there going to be a book? No. Chapter 2, verse 6. I'll read verse 5. Bear with me, please. Verse 5. When you were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, made us sit together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, purpose, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, that's the purpose, and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with the church, the body of Christ? You're going to show us in a book? No. I'm going to show you, you're going to be like him. Isn't that true? You're waiting, believers. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, not to be male or female or anything else. We're going to be made like him. He's the stone, like on the wall, and all the stones are going to look the same. We're going to have, he's the head, the body matches the head. We aren't going to have a book. We are the book. You are the book. You, dear people, are the book. And the world forever, timeless, timeless time, timeless. To what? To show the world what? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. And there's his body. And there we are, a visual body of believers. Special, not like Israel, not like angels, nope, not like the millennium, nope. Special, 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 positioned with him on his throne, sitting there, demonstrating the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the grace of God, who saves us totally, 1,000%, all by his lonesome. You and I offer and contribute zero. He contributes 7,000,000,000% of all that you are and all that you will ever be. And we announce that. The stone, what's the meaning of the stone? We are the living stones to point to the stone, you see. That's awesome. That's what it's about. That's what they died for. That's why the Memorial Day. It isn't just to be able to go to pizza store and do these different things. It isn't for that. It's to be able to be on planet Earth, to be able to know the Creator, what it says in here, your Creator, God, to know him, and to honor him and to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To know him. For what? Because he's the foundation. You can take this away and rip it up, which is what they're trying to do. But you can't rip the foundation which they put it on. Do you understand? You can take this away. Don't go away. You can't take this away. You can't take the book away. You can't take truth away. You can't take the wonderment of God's grace away. That's awesome. That's how I try to encourage the veterans. You may not be able to have what you fought for, but boy, no one can take away from you your right to know him and honor him and enjoy him. No one. Appreciate your patience. I hope you're getting a little bit. You just need to understand. Otherwise, it's a Memorial Day that disappears, and we have no idea about the stones. And the people coming up, the young people, know nothing. They got a whole generation that have been raised in socialism and all of this. And it's a tough road to go. But we can do it. I think it was Patrick Henry, was it? Give me liberty or give me death. I'm going to go for it. I am. That's why I'm going to keep pestering you and bothering you. That's what. Because that's what it has to be. The minute we close the book, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. God, make it all work. Our Father and God, thank you for your grace and patience and Spirit of God, we owe you as you honor your word, as you honor the work and person, our Lord, that you did on Calvary's cross for us. So, Father, we're just little old us here. And you got to help us. You got to start with our little heart and get us into the place where we're excited in a healthy, holy way about knowing and honoring you, being saved, being made new creatures in Christ Jesus. God, that's awesome. So thank you. Help us in every way. Give safety in the highway, safety in every way, encouragement. Educate us that we can enjoy you the more. And our God, we're going to thank you. In Christ's name, amen.